Hi, people. It's Arun Vanagopal in for Tanzina Vega most of this week, and I want to read you something here. Break their lineage, break their roots, break their connections, and break their origins. That's a quote from a Chinese government document on how to deal with the Uyghur Muslim population of Xinjiang province.
This is one of the greatest human rights atrocities in the world right now. This is well over a million people locked up in what the DOD is calling concentration camps. And this is ethnic cleansing on a whole new level.
Isabel Jung is a correspondent for Vice on HBO. She has a new documentary out for Vice News called They Come For Us At Night, China's Missing Muslims, looking at the forced, quote, re-education of Uyghurs in China. UN officials estimate that there may be as many as 2 million people in these camps, but it's hard to get an exact number because that part of China is so tightly under wraps.
The region of Xinjiang, sort of one of the pillars of what the Chinese government is doing in that area at the moment, is implementing the world's most sophisticated surveillance state. And that is in part to control the population that is living there. And it's also to prevent information from leaking out.
To make this documentary, Isabel had to sneak inside China doing this work undercover.
So what we decided to do is go in as tourists, you know, travel bloggers kind of bumbling around in the hopes that we could have a little bit more freedom and actually get closer to the truth as to what is happening there. So we went in twice over the course of 5 months. We went in January and then we went back in May. I went in with just my one colleague. We took one handheld camera with us, and then the rest of what we were holding is hidden cameras.
So this took, as one sees in this episode of yours, I mean, you took some real risks, didn't you?
It was a real risk. You know, the risks of getting caught with that equipment in the most sensitive region in China is being faced with charges of espionage. So, I mean, you've got to weigh up the risks with the rewards. And this is such a story that I don't feel like is getting the international attention that it needs right now and is incredibly important just on a pure scale level.
The Department of Defense in the U.S. has declared these concentration camps, obviously a term that is highly charged at this moment in the U.S. because of what's happening on our border.
Yeah, I mean, this is most likely the largest mass extrajudicial detention of any people since the Holocaust. This is over a million people put inside these camps, you know, which the government is saying are vocational training centers. But from firsthand testimonies of people that we've spoken to, both within and outside the country, these are places where they are taken and forced to be for an undisclosed period of time when they're not charged with anything, but they are taught absolute outright loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party.
And that starts increasing at a very, very young age with little kids.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most harrowing parts of kind of looking into this story was that so many Uyghurs that we were talking to outside the country were telling us that they've had to part with their children, and those children are being taken to state-run institutions and essentially being brought up as orphanages. We kind of went on this search to try and find what happens to the children of both people who are living abroad and people who have been sent to detention. And what we're finding is that one of the most effective ways in which the government can ensure that the next generation is entirely loyal to the Chinese Communist Party is by keeping them under state control in orphanages or in state care.
You speak with a woman whose story is very harrowing, who's left the province, but whose children have been put into some of these orphanages. If you could, just tell us what her story is.
Yeah, so Kelbinor, a lady we spoke to in Istanbul, is one of a growing number of people who have left Xinjiang. She left in 2016 with one of her children. She actually left to give birth in Turkey. She wasn't able to get passports for her children, her five children at the time. So she had to leave them in Xinjiang thinking that her husband would go back and pick them up in a few weeks' time. And her husband was arrested, and we assume in detention at the moment. She hasn't been able to contact them. She hasn't been able to be in touch with her family members at all or her children for the last 3 years. And recently she actually got a video where she saw one of her daughters, Aisha, who appeared in what looks like a school she thinks could be an orphanage, which shows, you know, that her daughter is alive. It's the video of her kind of learning Chinese. You can see kind of bunk beds in the background. This video essentially led us on a search to try and find not only Aisha, her daughter, but also to uncover whether these rumors are true, that all these kids are being taken away from their parents and put in these state-run orphanages.
And these are facilities, if I can add, when you show this footage, it shows like paintings or murals of Minnie and Mickey Mouse and all on the entrances. They have this sort of ostensibly childlike quality to them, but they are essentially being imprisoned in these places.
Yeah, I mean, they are huge, huge structures. We were actually able to identify them partly from satellite imagery because you can see they all do kind of have the same aesthetic. So you can see these like brightly patterned things on the ground. You can see these kind of castle-like turrets, and you can see these big walls around them. So that was kind of how we were able to GPS out where we wanted to go and how we could try and get to these particular buildings.
And so you follow this footage to, is it the town of Hotan? Is it
Hotan, yeah.
And you actually go there.
Yeah, we did. So we went back again to this time to the city of Hotan. Obviously, the risks are even higher this time because we know that we're on the government radar. But we were able to get there. We were able to kind of map out where we thought these buildings were. And we were kind of able to get to some of them. And obviously not get inside them, but we were kind of able to go around the exteriors and kind of film them again with our hidden cameras and talk to people on the ground about what these might be and what might be going on inside.
What is the official Chinese party line about why these tactics are necessary?
They say that this is a security threat. Over the last decade or so, there have been a spate of terrorist attacks and violent riots in the region itself. Just a handful of them, I would add, but that is in itself kind of justification that they have used to crack down on an entire region. It's also in a very important geographical location. It borders 8 different countries. This is a region the size of Alaska, and it's a crucial location for part of China's global economic ambitions in terms of their One Belt, One Road strategy.
For Americans who are only now being exposed to issues like this, what do you hope will come of an episode like this?
I mean, I think the first thing is awareness. I mean, there's so many people that I talk to who have been working on this project for the last 6 months, have actually been obsessed with this story for the last decade or so, and people don't even know who the Uyghurs are. And I think that's just coming into consciousness, but I mean, it's still not really on the international agenda. And I would also say that the reason that people might not necessarily know about it is because it is so damn hard to report from that region. So I hope that it does bring some awareness as to what's happening to this population and that the international community puts some pressure on China to rethink their policies.
All right, that Vice News Tonight episode is called They Come For Us At Night, China's Vanishing Muslims. Isabel Jung, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.